You are now listening to Ish Talk with Natalie.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Ish Talk with Natalie. This is your host Natalie, and today we are going to be talking about a serious topic that has been not talked about as much as I feel like it should be, and situations where I feel like as a person of color, it just does not get as much airtime as it should. Today we're going to be talking about the topic of racism and discrimination against all platforms. We're going to be talking about discrimination in makeup, well, in the beauty community in general. In the education department, in our school systems, in businesses, just everywhere. I just felt like this should be a whole episode within itself, because there are a lot of things that go on that people either don't see, or they are programmed to look past. And this is a trigger warning. If y'all would not like to hear about this, or you know, if you would rather not listen to this episode, please feel free to listen to either some of the older episodes, or stay tuned for future episodes. But this is a warning before I get to talking, and I'm just going to be shedding some light on things that I've seen. Just scrolling through social media has just showed me a lot of things that don't get covered on news, and things that should be getting covered. So if you would like to hear this, please stay tuned, and we'll get right into it. We're going to start off with the beauty industry. And this is going to be a longer episode than what the episodes are usually. So just stay tuned and let's get into it. So the beauty industry. The beauty industry is made up of the makeup industry, hair, things of that nature. And with makeup, as you can see, a lot of makeup artists and makeup brands, they don't have the whole scale, I should say. And a lot of people don't call this out as much as it should be. You know, popular makeup brands have often been subject to being canceled on social media because of the growing acknowledgement that this is not okay. Recently, in social media, there has been a little bit of controversy over Manny MUA's Lunar Beauty contour collection. And there was a post of the swatches on two different types of skin tones. And they were not wide-ranged. They were what people would call the standard for contours. And a lot of people felt, you know, disappointed because as a huge icon in the beauty community, for you to not have a wide range in your makeup is just not okay. You know, on Twitter, the post was there, but it, when I saw it, I didn't agree with it. You know, yes, it is contour, and I understand that, you know, that is not the same as foundation, but you still need to show representation for whether it's the, you know, the lightest of light of skin tones or the darkest of dark of skin tones. You still need to show representation because, you know, dark skin people wear makeup and light skin people wear makeup and, you know, Caucasian people wear makeup. Every race, you know, have people who wear makeup. You know, they buy it just like everybody else. And, you know, it's only right for you to show that you are aware. Because somebody should not have to buy, whether it's foundation or whatever, that does not match their skin or does not go with their skin color, all because, you know, the brand doesn't want to put out, you know, swatches and colors that fit everyone, or, you know, have at least a little bit of something that, you know, can accommodate. And so it's just not okay. You know, it's not right. It's lazy, in my opinion. It's just, you know, not okay. And in hair, in that part of the beauty community, it was a long time before there were actually enough products inside of stores, inside of, you know, stores in general, for them to have products that cared for, you know, multicultural hairs. You know, now that they do have certain products that cater to all hair types, you know, for a while they didn't. You know, you had to use what you could find, and it was just not okay. You know, because like I said about the makeup, people of color buy hair products. You know, they buy stuff too for, you know, for these stores to not cater to that is just obscene to me, because it's like, what's the reason, you know? And it's just sad that even with people calling them out, you know, there are still brands who still decide to let these collections out and let these products out, you know, knowing that they're going to get backlash for it, knowing that, you know, this is going to happen. And most of these brands have been called out before on the same issue. And so it is just crazy to me how they still let out, you know, these products, knowing that this is going to happen. And with the beauty community and advertising, there was a long time before you would even see people of color in advertisements, you know, for makeup or for hair care products. Even if the hair care product was a product that people of color could use, you know, you still would see everybody but people of color in the advertisements, in the commercials, in the magazines. And it was just very disappointing, you know, growing up and not seeing much of that. Now, as I was growing up, there were more and more people of color in, you know, store advertisements and on, you know, on TV. But a lot of them were being whitewashed in some type of way. Very few, you know, commercials just had people of color being their self. And it was just crazy. And as a child, you don't see that. All you see is, oh, well, they don't really look like me. But as you get older, you're seeing they once did look like me, but in this commercial, they have them, you know, wearing makeup that's way lighter or straightening their hair to where they don't show their curls in their hair. It was not okay. Education, discrimination is something that I didn't realize until I got older and explored. But once I got older and I realized that everything that we were being taught was not everything that went on, you know, not discrediting any of the educators or people in the school system, but a lot of Black history was not being told. It was not in the curriculum, so therefore teachers who, you know, didn't want to teach it, you know, they didn't have to because it wasn't in the curriculum. Nobody was getting tested on it. Nobody. It was just there. Like, if you knew about it from whether your parents taught you or if you, you know, took a separate class, then you would find out there. But in general, U.S. history and all the other general history classes, it was not taught. You would get the bare minimum. if any. And so then that's when they started incorporating the, you know, African American, you know, history classes. And my school was fortunate to have two types of African American classes. They had the African American history and they had African American literature. And so, therefore, you know, it was optional, it was not mandatory, which I think that everybody should know about it. Because if we have to take a general history, and if African American history is not going to be included, then I feel like it should have been mandatory for other people to take it as well, since we have to learn about, you know, other people's history. But, you know, just having that class was a step in the right direction, because it at least shows that we are improving and progressing, you know. So that was something good about that. And a lot of things that we didn't know, like a lot of today's inventions and things that we use every day now was, you know, created by a person of color. And without exploring or being told or doing your own research or being in a class, you know, that told you about it, you would have never known. And that is unfortunate, because it's always important to know all of your history so that you'll know what not to repeat. And it's just crazy to me how much, when I learned later on in my life, how much history that students really didn't know because of it not being taught and it not being in any type of curriculum. It is a lot. And so I encourage all, if you're interested, to go research, because you will find out a lot. Some stuff you may already know, and some stuff you might not know. Like, there was a lot of stuff that I had no idea about, but I am glad that I did research and found out about it, you know. So that is my take on discrimination and, you know, the racism in the education system. Next, we are moving on to discrimination in business. Sorry, I cut off a little bit there, but now we are talking about discrimination in businesses and the workplace. So there has been a lot of situations over, you know, the years with discrimination in the workplace and the feeling of not getting treated how you're supposed to be. And it is unfortunate that, you know, wherever you go, there's going to be some type of racially motivated, you know, attacks, basically. It happens everywhere. You can go on YouTube or on Twitter or Facebook, and that's all you see is people, you know, get racially attacked, whether it's verbally, physically, you know, in gas stations, hotels, you know, at the jobs, restaurants. It's just very discouraging, you know. And it's not okay. I am proud that nowadays more and more managers and owners are sticking up for their employees who are discriminated against and who have been victims of racist and racial prejudice, because it is not okay. It in no way, shape, or form should that be tolerated. I believe that everybody should be treated with respect, no matter if, you know, if you grew up, if you were raised to think that way, or if you think that way based off of past experiences. I feel like you still should treat people with respect. You know, I was raised by people who treated everybody with respect. You know, I am a mixture of everything. You know, I have, you know, Caucasian people in my family. I have, you know, I'm part Indian, African American, I am, you know, I just come from a very Creole background, and I have been raised by Caucasian people. I've been, you know, I've been brought up around everybody, and I have just always treated people with respect. I feel like just because somebody is a different race than you, or have different beliefs than you, whether it's religious or societal, you know, I still believe that, you know, you treat me with respect, I treat you with respect, and I'm not going to treat you any differently because of, you know, who you are, what you are. And so I just, you know, wish that everybody thought that way, but unfortunately, not everybody does. The last topic we are going to talk about is discrimination in policing and Black Lives Matter and the misconceptions that come behind. So, as somebody who has Caucasian police officers in their family, I do believe that there are good people in this world. Not all police officers are racist. Not all police officers are there to just, you know, hurt you. But with saying that, I am not saying that there are not bad people out there. I feel like there are certainly racist people. And I do believe that some people join the police force for the wrong reasons. But I do, with saying that, I do believe that they are good. So, with policing, I feel like being a police officer is a very stressful job, and you get put in high pressure situations. And it takes great power and great discipline to work your way through those hard situations. Do I feel like in certain situations, things could be handled better? Yes. But I do want to thank the police officers who are being police officers for the right reason and who genuinely are there to protect and serve. From doing research with Black Lives Matter, I do feel like there is a misperception of what it means. I do feel like most people think that it means only Black Lives Matter, but in reality, it just means Black Lives Matter as well as other lives, and Black Lives Matter, you know, too. You know what I'm saying? It is not a only Black Lives Matter. It is just wanting the justice to be treated equally. It is to fight for people who didn't have a voice and people who unfortunately lost their lives because of situations that happen due to their race and due to injustice, racial injustice, and the brutality of it all. You know, so I do believe that there is a Black Lives Matter, you know, that is for the right reasons. Like, there is no Black Lives Matter to just go out and hurt people. Like, they are not a bad group of people. I do believe they just want justice for what has been injustice for the Black life. There has been injustice stemming for years, and the creation of BLM is just to spread awareness for those lives that have been lost and those situations that don't get news coverage and don't get shared on social media, because there are a lot of situations that, you know, happen and they don't get talked about. They just get swept under the rug and move on to the next situation. So that is what they are there for. And with that misperception of what it is, I feel like people get upset thinking that Black Lives Matter is only Black Lives Matter. But that's not true. And there has to be something, because if there was no one to stand up for those people who didn't get a voice and for people who sadly got their lives taken for no reason at all, there has to be some people out there to spread that awareness so that things like this will get noticed and won't go on. Because one thing that everyone has experienced, even if it's not racially motivated, when you're a child and you do something wrong and you see that you don't get punishment for it or you don't face any consequences, then you keep doing it because you know that you're not going to get in trouble for it. You know that nothing's going to happen from it. And so I feel like the same thing happens when these situations go on and media doesn't cover it. And the news, it doesn't show up on the news, no magazines cover it. Then the people who are doing wrong, they don't get in trouble, which means they keep on doing it because they know that nobody is going to give them the consequences that they deserve. So that is why we need to spread awareness for these situations and prevent them from happening to more innocent people. So that is why I feel like Black Lives Matter is around to spread that awareness and give voices to the voices that go silent. And that's just how I feel about the situation and the topic in general. I just feel like we need to do better as a society, as a community, as a country, to give the same voices to everyone. Not one group of people should be silenced. Not one group of people should be treated worse than the other just because of the color of their skin or what they believe religiously or anything like that. And that was my take on discrimination and racial injustice and racism in the different areas, you know. Popular quote that I live by is that you judge people not by the color of their skin, but of the contents of their heart. And that is a great quote that I live by. It has just carried me through life because you don't judge a book by its cover. You judge the book based off of the insides, what, you know, personality, you know, what they do, not based off of who they are or what they believe. And so I feel like if everybody does that, then the world would be a much better place. I just want to thank everybody who continued to listen. I felt like this was needed. Not many people on this type of platform take time and really talk about things like this. But I do want to thank everybody who's been listening. And I would also like to thank everyone who has been supporting Ish Talk with Natalie. Please make sure to follow us on social media. The social media is in the show's bio. And website is also in the bio so that you can check out the Natalie Faye Boutique and check out our Patreon for Ish Talk. And if you'd like to show support, please go over there and you will be able to get access to a lot of perks and little bonus things that you wouldn't get on here. So we have 3 different pledges. I talked more about it in the last episode, but I'm just going to share a little bit about it. Just a little recap, but we do have 3 pledges. One is the Rookie-ish Talker, which is $5. And then we have the Occasional-ish Talker, which is $15. And we have the Master-ish Talker, which is $35. And in each one, you get bonus episodes. You get so much. You just get so much. You need to check it out, and you'll be able to see everything you get, but you do get access to bonus content. You get access to ad-free episodes. If you are the Master-ish Talker, you get free merch from my store every month. And then every 3 months, you'll get, in addition to my merch, but you'll get Ish Talk. We partnered with Patreon, and you'll get that merch as well. And so it's just a lot of perks that you'll get. You'll get access to live Q&As. We get to chat. It's just a whole bunch of fun. So go hop over there. The link is in my bio. And stay tuned, because we are going up from here. We have reached almost 700 listens and plays. It is amazing. I'm still shocked by it. We have grown so much in the past, 2 months that we've been doing this. So I just want to say thank you, and I'll talk to you later. Oh,